Jujitsu for Workers is a program dedicated to exposing exploitation and helping workers who are mistreated, abused, underpaid, and facing injustice in their workplace.
Presented by Utu for Workers Union, we're your hosts, Matt McCartan and Izzy Kane.
Kia ora, welcome to our show, Utu for Workers Hour, an hour dedicated to sharing real workers' stories and winning justice. I'm one of your hosts, Izzy Kane, and with me is our other host and interview extraordinaire, Matt McCartan.
Good to be here again.
Yeah, thanks heaps for the wonderful feedback we've gotten from listeners so far. Remember, you can always get in touch with us through our website, utu.org.nz, or email us at justice@utu.org.nz. Utu is always spelled U-T-U. Or you can free call us on 0800 368 000.
And just for our listeners, is Utu is a rough translation of Māori being justice. And so being in this country, New Zealand, we think that Utu for Workers Union is a good name for our union, but also for the show, because that's what we're about.
Exactly. And on that, we don't stop until we get justice. So we're going to start the show.
We're like rust. Yeah. We never stop, never sleep.
Yep. Start the show with an update on last week's cases.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, we raised three cases last week, Izzy, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. The first case was a we named them last week on the show. We've had some legal advice since, and what they've said to us, be safe, don't name names, but we're allowed to put them on our website.
Yes.
So people can go to our website at utu.org.nz and all the details.
I can assure you they're all there in all their glory, all along with their photos.
So, but we will tell a story. So just on the three cases we discussed last week are all in our program, an enormous amount of support and more information coming in. So the case we got down in Wellington, which is about a chain of restaurants, and the claim was that a worker was owed somewhere around about $130,000 in lost wages, had approached the employer. The employer had offered them $42,000. It wasn't acceptable. Then left Wellington to another town. They found out where he lived. Two goons turned up, purporting to represent the employer, and offered him a sort of $80,000 if he dropped the union, or he would be deported. So it's pretty outrageous. So since we have written about it, it's on our website. The employer's gone to ground. They made an offer, which is laughable, of $15,000. But even though the hoods are offering them sort of $80,000.
So, and he's owed over $100,000, according to our evidence.
And so what we're finding, we have been approached by other employees from this company. So this owner, we found out, is actually quite big in Wellington in the promo. So we're getting people in Wellington want to do something about it. So we'll be organising demonstrations against this employer in the next 2 or 3 weeks, and so building up some community support. So that's where that is at the moment.
And Matt, can you give us an update on the case of the international student who was misled and paid a premium?
Yeah, this one is really interesting. One, it's pretty clear. This is we've only got to the tip of the iceberg, but as we suspected last week. But what is interesting, we served papers, legal papers, after last Wednesday on this. The couriers who went to deliver it, the people who answered the addresses claimed not to be that person. And since then, all their emails and contacts have all been cut off. So it is clear that we are going to have a challenge on our hands. So if people could go to our website and utu.org.nz, we've put the names of the two villains on there and the contacts we have for them. And if people want to update them for us, if that will help us, if people know anything more about them, to contact us. Mm. So that would be – but we're not going to let this one go.
And then finally, we also had an interview about the pawnbrokers.
Yeah, so yes. Well, this case is quite a simple one. This was an unfair dismissal of two workers. But what was completely upsetting about it is that the COVID money, which were at the time, which was given to bosses to pay their workers, they pocketed the money and the workers got nothing. So that's a simple case. The authority has ordered the employer to finally front on the 27th of May. So we'll have an update then.
All right, thank you, Matt. And our listeners can go to utu.org.nz to read more about these cases. And hear
and if people know similar cases of, because these cases are not isolated, flick us an email.
There's an easy form submission on the website.
Yeah, there's all of that. I mean, people, look, we're trying to make it as simple as possible. Mm. So people can work their way. Look, a general thing is anyone who's in distress and trouble, has been mistreated, been exploited, been ripped off, been bullied, contact us, and if we can help you, we will.
Exactly. So on that, we're now going to dive into the interviews for this week for the show. So I'll give it over to Matt.
Okay, thanks, Izzy. Welcome to the show, Anu. Anu Kuliti is the president of the Migrant Workers Association. Very pleased to have her here today to talk about a case that her and I have been working on now for some time. And this is another exploitation case, unfortunately, from Christchurch. And it's serious in the senses that it's done with a major company. We are unable to name companies and the players on the show, but you can see the names of the people on our website, which is utu.org.nz. So people can actually, we name names and put more of the details in. So people should go and look at that while the show is on or after the show. So Anu, this is a case which, you know, broke my heart a bit, to be honest, because it was done by the employer as a, you know, a main middle class couple from Christchurch, very, very successful, and run a chain of stores for a name which is recognised in this country. So it's very disappointing when the levels of exploitation have got into a mainstream New Zealand, sort of, so to speak. But anyway, look, take us through about what this case is about.
Firstly, thanks for having me on the show. So this case, when the worker reached out to Migrant Workers Association, they had already been with an employment advocate who tried to get them some justice.
This was actually a lawyer, right?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, it was a lawyer. And then they only went so far and then wanted to hand over to another lawyer who was going to charge quite a lot.
The first lawyer had a meeting,
yes,
with the employer, and they danced around that, and that cost them $5,000,
mm-hmm,
and then didn't want to take the case any further, and then I'll give you to another lawyer and that'll be $15,000.
That's correct.
Which you've got to come out. Now, I think it's important that people understand this is how the system works.
Yeah. I mean, in a legal world, those figures may not seem huge, but from a worker's perspective, especially an exploitative worker, that is huge.
That's what's so upsetting to me, and this is partly why entirely why we have formed and we work together, right? Because justice is only for rich people.
You know? Absolutely.
Is that if you're poor and working and being ripped off, this is the world you live in. You cannot afford. So he was ready to give it away, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. You know, the conversation between myself and him went along the lines that, you know, I do not have $15,000, and but I
which worker does?
No. Exactly. No one does. What had happened was with this leading brand owner, which whom we can't name. So there, our worker had been working there as the store manager, or they had an equivalent title, but effectively a store manager on a salary, but made to work more hours than they were contracted for. So when somebody's on a salary, it kind of becomes a bit tricky because, most of the times his hourly rate was around the legal minimum wage or slightly above. But, you know, so the employer wasn't breaking the law,
They were, the couple, as you know, they were. Because with Immigration New Zealand, they gave them another number.
Later on in the PCI, So after we got involved, or one union, UTU, got involved in representing our worker, we had some engagement from the employer and their lawyer, and the documents that we were provided, it was obvious from those that, you know, there were more than one story there. So that's what you're referring to, that the hours and the hourly rate didn't add up to.
Just for the listeners, you're going to have to bear with it because it's an interesting story, because as we went along, it unraveled further and further, isn't it? Yeah. So first of all, it started off with a simple case of not being paid for additional hours, and he was bullied out of his job because he wouldn't comply with it.
Yeah,
right?
So basically being fired, for no fault of his own. So an unfair dismissal, termination.
That's what we thought it was initially.
Yeah, that's what we thought it was. So this worker had given considerable amount of his life to this employer, and
several years,
and then was on a 40-hour a week but working somewhere between 45 and 50. Him and his wife were about to have their first child. So as the baby was due, he spoke to the employer that, I'm not going to be able to do those extra hours now that we're going to have a baby, so I will only be able
to... These were unpaid hours.
Yeah, so they were
Let's
unpaid
just get
hours,
that clear.
Yeah, unpaid hours, yeah.
So he's saying to the employer, look, all those free hours that you wanted me to do, I can't do them anymore because I have a child and I need to be at home.
Yeah, and it was wrong in the first place anyway that he was made to do those extra hours. So that's when the relationship...
And, of course, the only response is from the employers... Totally understand, and so thank you so much for all of those hours and making me rich. So thank you so much. I understand.
And then.
But he said.
So your story goes on. So he also in the piece soon after that. Our worker's father was quite sick back in India, so he took 2 weeks off to travel back to India, and when he returned. The scene was a very, very different.
So he was given leave to go back because of family considerations, and he came back. Then what happened?
So when he came back, it seemed like another person had almost been given his job, and it was
It was the daughter, right?
Yeah, the employer's daughter.
So she was given part of the job, but the rest of the job had been kind of put out to other staff. Right?
So worker, I think this then soon after COVID hits,
So he was demoted, COVID hits.
And then one day when he's at work, he's coughing slightly, so he's sent home. So he gets a test and he's negative for COVID, but they stop him from returning to work under the guise of, you're not well and all this, that and the other, even though he had a clear negative COVID test. And also at the same time, they'd taken a lot of his duties away.
So this was just an excuse to keep him away from job, right? So he's not paid during this period. He's laid off for sick leave. And so that's what the problem. So he's getting... stressed out.
It's building up, all these events put
together. So this is just a succession of bullying.
Absolutely. Finally, it leads to one day when he's called in and he's our worker is really, really upset and he is telling his employer that, you can't do this to me. So the employer's response is, if you don't like it, you can leave. You can leave now if you don't like it. So obviously in that environment, that's exactly what a worker does. Like, you're telling me to leave, I'm going to leave. And then the next thing the employer says in front of a lot of other staff is like, he's leaving his job.
That's right. So therefore, he's left his job, so he's no longer here. So that was clearly a constructed dismissal, put him in a position in front of the other staff and then tell him, right, you've left. I haven't sacked you, you've left. So that's what the initial issue is. So he goes and gets a lawyer. That costs him $5,000. Mm-hmm. And they dance around that and it's inconclusive.
He gets nothing out of that.
There's nothing from out of it.
Nothing.
So then the lawyer says, I've got my $5,000, thanks very much, and I'll give you to someone else now to take any further, and that's 15.
15,000. And then that's when
he contacted you. Take us quickly through the main points from then on in.
So from then on in, we engaged with the employer and their lawyer, and there was then a discrepancy that we uncovered from the documents we were provided in the number of hours and subsequently.
So first of all, they actually denied he'd worked the extra hours, right? So that's number one.
Right. Yeah.
Then they produced some documentation, gave us an agreement that he was actually agreed to work for 45 to 50 hours a week.
That's right.
And he'd signed it.
But it was, they had forged his signature and we could clearly see
it was
that.
Clearly seen.
It was very obvious to us as well, the different documents that we had seen.
So this comes in about fraud, right? Instead of just coming clean, say, yes, we did and we should do, and we fix up and we're sorry and he's back on his job. What they did, because he's linked, his visa was linked to that employer.
Right.
So by losing his job, he was at potential of being deported, right? So
absolutely,
So that's right. With a young baby with a child, that's what's the upset thing about coming to the grounds. So what they did, they produced to you the contract which says that he did able to work the 45 hours or 50 hours a week in the wage, the salary waged.
So that's what they produced.
He said he didn't sign it.
Yeah.
It was clear to you and I that the signatures are completely different.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And their lawyer then goes, no, they're the same.
Yeah, I mean, any person looking right. at those signatures would know that.
Now, I won't do it today, but I'll get it done. I'm going to put these two signatures and the documentation side by side on our website mm-hmm. and ask anyone to actually tell if there's a difference. Right. So the lawyer, without blinking, goes, mm-hmm. they're the same. All the documentation's different, isn't it? Because there's things like the handwriting has clearly been written by someone else. His signatures are missing. It's completely different.
Correct, yeah.
What the key thing is in this story is, or a key thing, is that the documentation they gave to the immigration in New mm-hmm. Zealand was the original agreement said for 40 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
So the one they produced to us was different from what they gave to immigration New Zealand. Yep. Now, they're either lying to us or lying to immigration New Zealand. Now, this is a nationwide brand company mm-hmm. in New Zealand.
A leading brand that every New Zealander will know. Yeah, so that's why...
So go to our website.
We can't name here, but
Udu.org.nz. And I wrote to this company, mm-hmm. national company, and said, look, you know, this is going under your brand. They wrote back, not their HR or their lawyers, their marketing manager wrote back to me mm-hmm. and said, oh, we, you know, gave all the corporate talk, you know, that we care and share and how we touchy-feely with other people.
A franchise and we don't employ
So that's where we're at. So this worker has moved, has got a job. We've taken so long to bring it to the public's attention because this worker had to get another job.
He actually had to move cities. Yeah, with a young baby.
Very stressful. So we want people to know about it and go to our website and sign our petition against exploitation from people like this. But we'll engage and keep people updated. So we have re-engaged back with the employer now seeking compensation for the worker. And I am also going to write to Immigration New Zealand because it's clear fraud. Gave him a chance to put it right and investigate it.
Excellent.
So, Anna, you know the family. Mm-hmm. Incredibly stressful. You know, just broken. You know, they had to move towns. Mm-hmm. They were scared. They didn't have a job. These people were thrown out basically on the street with a young baby, right? Mm-hmm. And this is from a couple who own a number of businesses on the Facebook pages saying they are great asset to society and they care and they share and all this. And yet, behind the scenes, they were acting very dishonestly and actually, I think, have committed a crime. So, you know, it's greed and criminal behaviour is not just relegated to the fringes of society. Yep. This is now in corporate New Zealand and it's actually encouraged or at least tolerated. And these national companies won't lift a finger.
Yeah, I mean, it's very sad that the brand owners can just wash their hands off because they're working on a contracting, subcontracting model and they have franchisees.
Yeah, but you know, I'm going to finish with this, right?
Yep.
If a franchiser stole from the corporate, the HQ, they wouldn't be saying, well, that's another matter. We don't get involved in those things, right? They would lose their contract like that and they'd be out the door, right? No question, right? If the worker had stolen money from the franchiser, they would have phoned the cops and had them arrested, right?
Yep.
Here we have, it's clearly this worker's owed thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, and that's not even counting the compensation for the way that they were treated. And they have just kind of think they're getting away with it. So I want people to go to our website, udu.org.nz, sign the petition, offer to volunteer to help us, because the only way we're going to resolve issues like this, crimes like this, is we all get involved and do something about it. But, you know, go to our website and see who's doing it. Anu, thank you for coming on again, and thank you for the work that you're doing on behalf of my migrant workers, because before you, there's been very little support for them. So, so how do people contact your organisation?
So the easiest way is if people reach out to us through our Facebook page, Migrant Workers Association, or there is an email as well, help@migrantworkers.org.nz.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit more about the Migrant Workers Association, which you're president of, Anu.
It's awesome to have you on the show today and such a pleasure talking to you as always. So can you tell our listeners how you're connected to Utu for Workers Union and what the Migrant Workers Association is?
Firstly, thank you for having me on the show and allowing me to contribute. Migrant Workers Association has been around for about nearly 10 years now. And we came out of Unite Union, the union that looks after fast food sector, the workers who work there. And the specific need arose when around 2008, 2010.
Ooh, so you've been in the game a long time then.
Yes, yeah. It doesn't seem that long sometimes. So we had quite a large influx of international students at the time. A lot of them came from India and China. Mm. So we kind of became a bridge, I suppose, between the Indian workers and Unite Union, who were trying desperately hard to unionize the students. Mm. So anyway, we weren't really that successful at unionizing the migrant workers, but what came out of that was that there was a need to have a dedicated organization. Listening to migrant workers and their issues, and then I guess shining a light on it with a view to get some solutions. So that's how we started out. And unfortunately, even to this day, the unionization of those workers remains quite difficult. Yeah. And we know generally it's very difficult to unionize workers.
And there's such a need for it because, you know, the most vulnerable members of our working society are migrants.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I mean, it's sort of, I'll digress if I go down that area, but you know, there aren't unions available for certain sectors. And so, you know, the general population number of people who are in unions is very small, and it's gone down over the years. So that's another topic. And with Utu, so about 3 years ago, we started working in collaboration with, it was a different name then, but now it's called Utu. So with our work, there are several areas that we have to take care of. So when an exploited worker first comes to us, they have a raft of issues that need dealing with at the same time. So there'll be the actual exploitative workplace that they are in. So they'll need representation with their employment matters. And then there is the immigration side of things where, you know, they may be about to be deported. So they need representation.
And you're also a registered immigration advisor, aren't you?
Yes. Over the years, you know, we felt the need that we needed to have somebody in-house so that we could take care of immigration matters. So as of October last year.
Which is why it's just so excellent to have Anu working with us at the Utu for Workers Union, providing that service.
And then there's a lot of the pastoral care side of things, which Migrant Workers Association gets involved with. So we use the legal pathways that are available to us through MBIE, whether it's Labour Inspectorate, Employment Services, Mediation Services, INZ for immigration. So with employment side of things, the departments and the bureaucracies are very slow, and mostly they do very little and very late. So that's where Utu comes in. So, you know, by the time an exploited worker gets a hearing in the form of whether it's a mediation date or employment relations authority hearing date, it is more often than not too late. The employers are so crafty, they'll put their businesses into liquidation even when all these proceedings are ongoing. Yeah. So that's why we feel that Utu is real justice. So, you know, we can get onto these thugs, these thieves straight away. You know, as soon as we get an exploited worker come to us, once we've seen everything that they have in the way of evidence for their claims, and then if we are confident that, yes, you know, this person has been wronged, that's it. You know, we've got Matt McCartan, who heads the Utu team.
Yes, co-host on the show, of course. Yeah.
So, prolific writer, Matt.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, people who've read the Sunday Herald, he wrote the column for about 10 years. And then there have been many, many stories on the Daily Blog recently.
Yep. And we've just started publishing them on our website. So yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. You know, we've come to the conclusion, working together with UTU, that name and shame is the only way for some, exploiters. That they will deliver a tiny bit of justice to exploited workers.
Which is, of course, the core tenet of our show. Well, thank you so much for coming on to speak with us, Anu.
While we aren't now naming the alleged exploiters on the show itself, we're still publishing their name, business details, and headshots on our website, utu.org.nz. So do be sure to check those out, as these people need to be exposed. Moving on to our next interview now, I'll hand back over to Matt to talk to Head of Advocacy Services at One Union Trust, Bryce Hamilton, about a health and safety case involving some pretty severe bullying.
Well, the next case I want to talk about, this one is really upsets me. This is the combination of racism and connected with someone who has been asked to put their life in danger. And then when he refused, he was harassed to the point of mental illness, or, you know, was sick and has not been able to return to work. And the person who is leading this case up is Bryce Hamilton. Bryce heads up the team, the advocacy team for workers in these sorts of problems. So, Bryce, thanks very much for coming in today. This is in Hawke's Bay. Now, we can't name the individuals. We will put them all on our website. So people can go to utu.org.nz, and the details of the names of the offenders and the company will be up there. Yeah, and it's utu.org.nz. So, Bryce, thanks very much for coming in. So this is a forestry, in the forestry industry. This is your client. What's about in its simplicity?
Basically, it's a profound case of racism and bullying.
So this is when we talk about racism, we always think of brown people, right? But this is a German fellow, and so he's like an engineer. He cuts trees down with a big machine.
Right? He's a very skilled and experienced harvester operator.
Okay, yeah. So that's like a big machine in the forest that cuts down trees.
Yeah,
right? And he's employed because it's a very specialist job.
It is, yes.
Okay, so he's out there, and one of his co-workers, I use the word loosely, co-worker, but anyway, starts taunting him with a nickname of...
Well, they started calling him Hitler over the CB.
Right. So therefore, you know, you couldn't use a more offensive term to someone who's German. Right?
Not really.
Like, there's nothing more thing. So that's it's very upsetting. So, Bryce, what does he do?
Goes to the boss.
Of course.
Yeah.
And what does the boss say?
If you don't like it, you can leave.
What? What? Okay. All right. So I can see where this all starts, right? This is all going to end in tears. So the employer, in your experience, this has an obligation to investigate. I mean, this is clearly breaks all sorts of rules, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. There's a lot of rules that this breaks.
So anyone who's listening to us now knows that any bullying, name-calling, the worker takes it to the boss. The boss is required by law to investigate it and to fix it.
Yes.
Correct?
And not participate.
Because this starts to come under the Human Rights Commission stuff, isn't it? Race relations and all sorts of stuff, isn't it? Not just industrial.
Yes, and the Health and Safety Act as well.
Of course, I haven't thought about that. Okay, so he does that. Then, of course, it just escalates.
Yeah.
Right. So after he goes to the boss, makes the complaint, boss says, you don't like it, you leave.
That's right.
Right? So that's outrageous. But then, and so that encourages the people who've been harassing, but I understand it started to increase with the management too.
That's right, yeah.
So he got the nickname on radio where he could hear it. They would refer to him as Hitler.
That's right, yeah.
Right. So he gets so distressed, so upset, as he would, right? So then they start undermining him and his job.
That's right, yeah.
And how does that happen? I mean, what does it do exactly?
They obviously, they start calling him Hitler of the CB. They start giving him unrealistic production targets, and they ask him to march that really big forestry harvesting machine off the edge of a cliff, essentially.
Okay, so it's 2 points. So what they were doing is setting him targets were not achievable, and then they tell him contradictory instructions, and then I'd blame him for it. So that's one factor.
Yep.
But the key thing, which I'm interested, they wanted him, the actual owner of the business, wanted him to take the harvester, I'll use the word there because I don't know what it's called, down a cliff or a ravine to keep cutting. He knew that was dangerous.
Yep.
And there's a lot of people killed in forestry, right? Which you're well aware. Right?
Absolutely.
So this is what they do. So what happens is companies are subcontractors. They go in too low. They're getting pushed for margin. The workers work harder and longer, and they put them in an unsafe and cut corners. That's what's going on, isn't it?
Yeah.
So he was told to do that. He wouldn't do it. Right?
Yeah, he refused to do that and some other unsafe.
Because he's got a partner, you know, I mean, you know, he's going to get killed.
Yeah, right? And possibly the people around him with chainsaws, you know. He's in a big machine. They're little people. They can be crushed.
Oh, yeah, I must know more about this. Anyway, so he says no. So then the attacks and the undermining just keeps continuing.
Yeah.
And escalating.
Yeah, relentless.
Relentlessly. So he gets to the point, he just cannot cope. Goes to a doctor.
Yep.
Doctor goes, oh, my God, you know, and forces him off the job to go and start recovering, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Mental stress. Yeah. Then they started harassing him.
Yep.
You know, give back the car, you know, when you're coming back, this is out. You know, no support, just attacking him because he's got a company car and they want it back, right? That's all they care about.
That's right.
So he's got the point. He contacts you because you got recommended to you and you engage with the company, right? Try and fix it like you know the world.
Yeah, so I phoned up the company to see if we could engage, find out exactly what was going on. And
he just wanted to just stop
and
it.
We just needed that to stop, and that's not what the employer did. The employer carried on, and they also carried on in letters to me. So they started bullying me as well, and I was just like, well, that's unfortunate, isn't it? What a shame for them.
They don't know you.
No, they will soon.
Yes, well, good on you. So they're just bullies, aren't they? I mean, if they bully you, then they bullied him. And so he's still off work
now.
They've come and got the car.
Yep.
So effectively, he's been dismissed, right? You tried to fix it up informally. Like, you know, because we're growing ups, right? That some bosses just idiots, right? Yeah. Say, look, you know, the worker still wants to have a job, of course, you know, just stop what you're doing, apologise, shake hands and move on and don't do it again, right? That's all we want for that sort of case, right? Mm-hmm. But they didn't. They just kept going.
Yep.
So you've now had to file what we call a personal grievance, a legal case against them.
Yep.
And that happened the last couple of days.
Last week sometime, yep.
Yep. So that will now proceed. So, look, go to our website, utu.org.nz, utu.org.nz. The details of this company and what they've been up to is on there. Bryce, you know, all our support for you in helping this worker of bullying. There's too much bullying going on, but this is where someone, they could have got killed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and using racial slurs or any sorts of slurs against the worker by an employer or their employees, of which the employer is responsible for, is just disgusting and needs to be cut out. So if anyone who's listening to this knows of similar cases where people have been bullied and used racist terms against them in that, it's the employer's responsibility. And look, and go to our website and give us an email, and if we can help you, we will.
Yeah.
But thanks very much, Bryce, for coming in.
Thank you, Matt.
Thanks, mate.
Yeah, thanks, Matt and Bryce, for covering that story. Sadly, there is a health and safety theme emerging here, which will just become awfully apparent in the next interview with Sabrina, an advocate of the One Union Trust. So this is a case that has personally affected many of us here at UTU and is something that many of our listeners will sadly be far too familiar with. So Matt, do you want to get started?
Kia ora, Sabrina. Thank you very much for coming in today. I'm very interested about this case that you're going to talk to us about now. It has been very distressing to me, and I'm sure it's distressing to others. We can't name names. You can go to our website, utu.org.nz. That's utu.org.nz. And we do actually have the more details and fill the story out a bit more. This is not an exploitation case. It is a different sort of case. So tell me what this is about. So it started off with a physical assault on a young woman in a retail shop. Then tell us what happened.
Well, kia ora, Matt. Thanks for having me again. This case is pretty much, as you said, starts off with a member of staff getting sexually assaulted.
Right. This is a retail shop.
In a retail.
High-end.
Retail, high-end retail website, store, you know. For women.
So she was alone in the store?
Yes, she was alone.
And a customer, I use the word very loosely, came into the store and then attacked her and tried to pull her into the back room.
Yes.
A security guard came past, it's a mall, and heard her screaming, and the attacker ran off. So the cops were called, of course.
No, the cops were not called.
No.
No, they were not. The mall security told the worker that they would take care of it. Meanwhile, the worker spoke with her employer, the director of...
I'm just deep breathing here. So the more security people go, don't you worry about them, we'll look after it. No cops, they need to get involved, right?
That's what it seems like.
Boss gets called,
the director of this high-end woman's fashion store, and is informed by the worker of what has happened, and she gets told to take a five-minute break and get a coffee and then return to work.
Give me a bucket. Okay. All right. So there's nothing to worry about here. Have a coffee, have you get back to work. But what happened afterwards when we raised it with the boss about their behavior, and said, oh, we bought the coffee, you know, and she said that she was happy to go back to work.
Mm.
I'm like, what?
It's quite crazy for me as a, you know, especially considering the employer was a woman herself.
Right.
But to be understanding.
Yeah. So she then phoned her sister, and her sister goes, like, is anyone reacting? What? I'm coming to pick you up.
Yes.
And think, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I know the boss after that said, well, we let her go for the day. I do it a favour then. My God. Yeah. So that really got me upset.
Yes.
I was very upset about this because it was kind of like, don't get it. Right?
No, I couldn't conceive of someone being attacked in that manner and then expected to continue working.
So she's upset, goes back to work because young woman, oh, well, I've just got to get on with it, right?
Yeah.
So she's the manager of the store, so she gets on with it. But as the week goes on, she's just getting more upset because she's never asked, she's never got any phone call from the boss saying, look, how are you? You know, you okay? You know. Then she saw the attacker again.
Yes.
Right. Then she said nothing because she didn't want to kind of cause a fuss because she didn't feel she was supported last
time. I mean, yes, I suppose at that point you wouldn't think your employer's really got your back.
Well, they haven't. So she goes to another of the stores, Ponsonby store this was, and sees again young worker by herself, no security has been put up because that's what they'd promised. They would take your security measures. So what does she do then? Because this is the crux to the whole thing.
Yeah, this is the crux. I think, you know, for this worker, things, you know, she felt like it was time to take a stand and to stand up for herself and her other workers.
The other woman, right, who worked there, working alone at night.
Yes.
And it'd already been an attack.
Yes.
So she writes them, right?
She writes them an email, quite a firm email saying, you know, this is what I think you as employers need to do. You need to improve your workplace practices. You need to improve your treatment of staff. And
right. So then what happens?
Then what happens is quite an alarming escalation.
Exactly right. So this is the real thing, right? So tell us that. So the next day, so she writes to the 4C senior boss, the company owner, for want of a better word, I call him the boyfriend. I don't know what he actually was. What's his job is.
Mm.
And then the kind of her direct boss and some other HR-y type person or some other job there. So she writes to the four of them, and so they call her in the next day, right?
Yes. So she has a meeting with them, which, you know, I assume
she's been 2 weeks before, had been a victim of an attack. She is writing to them because she'd gone to relieve someone, you know, for their breaks on a day off because they were alone in one of the stores, and she noticed there was no security, there were no cameras and things like that, which they had promised, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she writes them. So she gets called in to please explain, right? She's on her own, and they've got four of them there in the room, and they start off with, well, you wrote us an email. What's all that about?
It seems almost like they felt personally attacked.
No. They accepted afterwards they were affronted.
Mm.
They were. I mean, you know, and so you can see how this meeting, you don't have to be there, right? The meeting lasted all of 6 minutes, right? And at the end of it, she didn't have a job.
Yes.
Right? So that's it. And no, every way you look at it, so what they say, oh, well, she resigned, right? And you know in law, that's nonsense, right? She gets called in. What she said was, as I understand, just correct me if I'm wrong, she said, if this is not fixed, then I will resign. The boyfriend then goes, okay, thank you, you've resigned, thank you, goodbye, out you go. And she's out the door. And that meeting lasted for 6 minutes.
Yes, so, I mean, to say she resigned, I think, would be a misunderstanding of the law, and I think it would be...
you're so kind. Because you've done law, you're giving them a break.
I think it would be ignoring power imbalances.
Any common sense, I tell you. You know, this was an outrage, you know. The stranger assaulted her and sexually attacked her, or physically, but it was a sexual attack.
It's attempted sexual.
That's what he was wanting to do. They ignored that, never looked after it. And then when she raises a concern, she's bullied, isn't it? I mean, that's bullying.
Yes.
You know, you might not be. Yeah, in your opinion. And so she's out of a job, right? Because the boyfriend just says, and she's out of the room. And that's not a resignation, is it? I mean, that's a sacking.
Yes, I would say that's a sacking.
Right.
Technical legal term.
A legal term, no, but just bullying. So then what happens next?
What happens next is...
Because that's when it gets ugly, right? Really ugly.
Yes. I mean, and I think a lot is revealed by texts that we have from the worker to her employer directly after the meeting, where she states quite clearly that she doesn't want to leave and she just can't work with the boyfriend who she feels is verbally abusive towards her and other staff. So I think it's made abundantly clear that the worker did not wish to resign and actually wanted to work things out. But we've almost felt forced into...
Well, she was forced.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they told her, the boyfriend, he says, well, you've resigned, you know, and so that's it. So there's no outreach from the boss. Like any decent boss wouldn't know. They'd go, mate, you know, what's wrong? Well, I'm sorry that happened the way it did. You know, let's have a coffee. Let's just see what's going on. Once she'd understood it, you know, then she would have understood, oh, you've been attacked, you're upset about one of your colleagues was in a thing, you tried to raise the issue, wasn't handled particularly well by anyone, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think, and the worker directly attempted that.
So after the meeting, she texts the boss and says she didn't really want to resign.
Yeah, she says she just doesn't want to work with...
And what did the boss say?
The boss just said, please send in your resignation formally.
Right. Well, I didn't know about that until just now. Okay, so that's clearer. So she goes to the cops to report the initial assault because she's so upset. What did the cops say?
So the cops were quite surprised that the employer had not reported the incident.
Yeah, which is actually a requirement. And what I found out since then is that the cops knew who the assaulter was. That he had a reputation of going around retail shops and finding a woman alone and then attacking them. So then the cops sent the serious assault team, victim support, around to see her that night, and they were shocked the way that the state she was in, and they got in the medical support. Okay. So she was upset. She spoke to her friends, and then her friends started to go onto the store, onto their website, and start doing Google reviews about her treatment.
Yes. Right? And I think that's, you know, an action of someone who's feeling powerless trying to...
Well, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. And so what the company does, though, they sue her. Right?
Yes.
For $30,000 or something, right?
They bring in a lawyer.
They bring in a lawyer.
And threaten her. With her legal action.
They also take the case to the authority under urgency, right?
Yes.
At this stage that she's under, she's at home, you know, being looked after, you know, because of the stress of it all, then they keep pursuing her, right? Even though she said, okay, I'll stop, please leave me alone. And they said, no, the lawyer says, unless you pay me my cost of $12,000, we're going to keep coming after you.
Right? Yes.
That point she contacted us, right?
Yes.
And so we got involved and then they backed off on the costs and, you know, thing. But there was just bullying, right? These guys are thugs. Now, you can't say that. I'll say that. You know, but they are. So we now are going to pursue this because it needs to be pursued because this is not a first. This is happening all the time. Young women are being assaulted and then the employer just covers it up. They don't know anything about it. They get pushed from out of the job. And then on the very rare occasions where they fight back, the boss sort of uses lawyers to intimidate them.
Yes. Right?
So we are going to pursue this case. We want people to go to our website and actually know more of the details. I think we need people to actually rally around this case. This is a typical case of bullying, you know, ruthless bullying, you know, of someone who's vulnerable. So what's going to happen now, right? We're going to ask the community now to get involved. You've got your legal progress to go through. We'll follow that through. But for the rest of us, that we actually have to campaign around this issue. This is not an isolated case. And this company has got to own their actions. So as a first step, I want people to do this. If they care about this, and they should go to our website, utu.org.nz, utu.org.nz, and sign our petition against exploitation and bullying, and to volunteer to help, because we're going to run a bit of a campaign, I think, in the community about this. And Sabrina, can I just say, is that you are really doing wonderful work on behalf of these victims, and thank you for coming in today, and I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Matt. Well, that wraps up our interview portion of the show for today, and it's left me feeling pretty angry, something which I have in common with our listeners. We have many people contact us after hearing our interviews last week, and they wanted to know what they could do to help. And there are a myriad of ways you can help us. I mean, Matt has already alluded to some on the show today, and I'll use what is quickly becoming our Utu for Workers Hour slogan, but you can go to our website, utu.org.nz, and use the navigation bar along the top of the page to join us. You can become a member of the Direct Action Utu Squad. You can share our articles. You can become a sponsor. You can also sign our petition to end exploitation in New Zealand on the Action Station platform. The directions to this can be found on our homepage. On a lighter note, to round off the show, I found a song we can listen to. It's a part of my Songs of Struggle mission to find the motivation of the leftist cause from years past for the years ahead and realise how the fight continues. I've actually decided to play you a song not from Matt's era, but from my own. It's a pop number. It topped international musical charts back in 2017, and it's called Feel It Still by Portugal the Man. So the lead singer explained that it's hard to still be a punk when you're a family man, but that the song and its lyrics are his way to still be a rebel and make a positive impact. Yeah, he considers the context of when it was written during the 2016 US presidential election and when Donald Trump's rhetoric that was abound at the time, and which speaks for itself really, in spirit, they still feel the need for change. This song is both an expression of and a motivation for that. You know, so you'll see in the lyrics, you'll hear mentioned 1966, and it's in reference to civil rights and war protests. And at the very end, you'll hear the timeless protest call of fight back, which certainly captures the Utu approach. It's this spirit that's felt by activists past, continues to live on and through activists today, and is the lens through which we'll explore more classic songs of struggle next week, beginning with a number by Billy Bragg and inspired by a Joe Hill song of the same name. But for now, from all of us at the Utu for Workers Hour, thank you for tuning in. Here we have it, Portugal the Man, Feel It Still.
Keep my hands on myself.